RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, crushperformance.com is the website. Info@crushperformance is the email. Write to us there if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks. You could follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on the social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We're there on all of those platforms, filling them chock full of great information to help you get better and get on your way no matter what it is you're pursuing. So check us out if you get a chance. Right now in sport, man, there is a lot going on, isn't there? We're watching the world of sport with great interest. We've just got through the MLB draft. The NHL draft just happened. The NBA draft. We have NFL camps opening up. We've seen some great golf recently, some unbelievable tennis. And, of course, the FIFA World Cup is well underway. Last week's show was fantastic. We talked with Mike Ozanian from Forbes about their 15th annual list of the most expensive franchises in the game of soccer, and we compared them to the North American sports as well. Really interesting conversation if you want to go back and hear that. But the amount of money that these sporting organizations are now worth, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, it is a big industry, and it's only getting bigger. This is unbelievable, and it's really changing the landscape of developmental sport because talent is now becoming more valuable than it ever has before because, well, let's just face it, there's big money to be had if the franchises are successful. There's nothing more powerful than winning when it comes to increasing the value of a sporting franchise. And that was quite clear with our conversation last week with Mike Ozanian. On today's show, we're getting into the mental game of sport. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you listen to the show, that I truly believe the mental game is one of the last bastions of harvesting human potential. It's going to be one of the areas that's really going to push us forward in terms of what we're able to accomplish. We're going to talk to former major league pitcher, now mental training coach, Bob Tewksbury. He was an instrumental part of the Red Sox turning that organization around and getting back to that World Series and the continued success they've had since then. He's consulted with the Major League Baseball Players Association, and he's now consulting with the San Francisco Giants. We're going to talk to him about the mental game and how it's changed since he played. How great is it to have a player now working and getting his degree and working as a mental training coach in the game that he loves? Such a great conversation coming up. And on that note, sometimes you just need to have conversations about this stuff because it goes well beyond sport. If you've been following me on Twitter at Jeff Crush or on Facebook at Crush Performance, you'll see I've posted a couple links to a couple of very, very powerful articles that have come out recently in the Players Tribune. One by Nick Boynton, former retired NHL player. The article is called "Everything Is Not Okay." And right in that episode, another former NHL player, Corey Hirsch, wrote an article called "Dark, Dark, 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 Dark," where he describes just narrowly escaping an attempted suicide. As they both talk about their struggles with mental illness and depression and all of the dark things that come along with that, such powerful articles. I'd like everybody to read them if you get a chance. And one of the reasons we want to talk to Bob today about the mental game of sport, and it goes well beyond sport for sure. So we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, the mental game with Bob Tewksbury right after this on Crush Performance. Hey everybody, Jeff here. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that we just discovered this week the subscription button for the Crush Performance newsletter hasn't been functioning properly. So I want to thank everybody who wrote in to let us know. The Crush membership is very important to us, and our weekly newsletter is a big part of how we help our members develop the very best plan for getting control, getting focused, and getting results no matter what your goals and objectives are. So if you've recently tried to sign up for our newsletter, please try again at crushperformance.com. Our incredible tech people have the problem solved, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's get back to the show. More Crush Performance right now.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here. We're your weekly source for performance information. And today we are talking the mental game of sport. Listen, I truly believe that the mental game harbors, I think, the greatest potential for maximizing human performance. We know the physical side really well. We know skill development. We know technical, tactical. We have analytics. But if you can't put it together in your mind, if you can't come up with that system and that plan, it's very, very difficult to execute no matter what level you're competing at. And there's always tricks to the trade. One of the things we always say is, if you want to find out what to do, look to the pros. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. Now, with baseball sort of being the only major sport going on right now outside of the FIFA World Cup, which is tournament play, I wanted to put a baseball spin on this. Plus, I've been really looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. We're joined now by Bob Tewksbury, former major league pitcher. Some of you might remember him. He is now a mental skills coach, worked with the Boston Red Sox, the Major League Baseball Players Association, and right now working with the San Francisco Giants. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Jeff, thanks for having me on. I look forward to catching up.
Yeah, this is great. I've been looking forward to this conversation. A couple of weeks ago, Bob, we talked to the guys from DeServo about their new technology and how we're really now starting to tap into the mind. And now that we have the technology that allows us to see what's happening sort of in a real time, sort of a way, we're at a new era when it comes to understanding and maybe even training the mental side of the game, but also the cognitive side of the game. It's a real interesting time in sport on this side of athlete development.
Yeah, well, the neuroscience and the increases in technology and brain studies and research and testing is really, I think, going to explode from the mental standpoint. I think they'll be able to gather more information that further connects what we know in applied sports psych, which works, which is, breathing, imagery, self-talk, those type of things. But I think we'll be able to continue to make gains that we don't even know yet. And I know Jason and there's others that have really using their education, their expertise, to kind of specialize in this in the baseball side of things. So it's really exciting time, and the field is growing, with mental skills coaches being hired by teams, and baseball is becoming more normalized. Teams are providing staff for the players at almost all levels. Some teams more than others, but it's really an exciting time for the field that continues to grow.
Well, Bob, I really like your story. Let's go back to the beginning for you as a young player entering Major League Baseball. You spent a good number of years at the highest level of the game. How much has it changed in your perspective? And what a great story for you to go on and get your master's in psychology and become a mental skills coach. Just an incredibly valuable combination in my mind.
Well, thank you. Well, that's one of the reasons why I did it was, I know that I didn't want to be a pitching coach, but I knew I kind of wanted to stay in the game and believe that, getting this master's degree in sports psychology and counseling would kind of create my own specialty niche, if you will, of being a former major league player with a secondary degree, and it's turned out to be a good decision. So I got that in 2004, and it's been really rewarding to be able to do that, and use my experiences as a player combined with the resources that I found from an educational standpoint to be able to connect with the players, because I've been able to, anything that they go through, I've probably been through, and I can relate to the experiences of six demotions, two surgeries, traded, I was released, made an all-star team, get knocked out in the first inning. I've ridden the buses in the New York Penn League and ate tons of Domino's pizza, most of it cold, had wet uniforms that weren't dried, that were in your locker that you had to put on the next day. And so all those experiences are part of the path. And, to be able to share that is rewarding.
And to be able to relate to the players in the trenches, that's a really valuable, I think, connection. And especially for the young players coming up who are just sort of trying to
figure out how this whole big thing works. To have somebody with the experience at the level, every level of the game, who's basically lived the game from top to bottom, is so valuable. Bob, if you were to go back now, think of yourself back in 1986 when you signed with the Yankees, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and as a young player, how much has it changed? Like, what was going on back in those days in terms of the mental side of the game?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have these great veterans who have always said, even back to the 60s, that the game is predominantly a mental game. It's a real big part of it.
Yeah. And then, thanks for reminding me to come back to that question, because that was your original question. I totally forgot. So, well, the game has changed a lot. You know, analytics, you know, I'll just kind of rattle them off the top of my head, but analytics with the shifts and the positioning of players has changed a lot of the offensive production in baseball. The spin rates, the new technology on spin rates and exit velocity have changed the approach of bat paths and pitch selection. In that you can throw more breaking balls and find, you know, the four seam fastballs more effective than the sinker because of the spin rate. And, you know, it used to be sinker, slider, changeup, you know, curveball. Now it's high fastballs and curveballs because the, you know, the hitter's swing planes are much different. They're trying to create launch and lift. Strength and conditioning, as you know, has changed a lot. I mean, I think in the early, the mid to late 80s was all, some teams didn't have strength and conditioning. It was kind of, and weightlifting and strength training was not a priority. It was, you know, go play and go catch and throw. And so that has certainly improved a lot, where teams have strength coaches at all levels, and the static type of weight training is now more dynamic. And so that's been a big change. Certainly instant replay has changed the game. I'm not a big fan of instant replay, because I think that, you know, part of playing baseball or in athletics in general is how to deal with things that are out of your control, you know, to build character and to create bonding and resiliency. And I think that oftentimes now the instant replay creates a fairness that is designed to create, but I think I think athletes are missing out on a valuable lesson in sport, is not everything's fair, and how do you deal with that? And so there's been a ton of changes over the years with, as baseball's grown, and you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what the next, well, and then, you know, mental skills is like the last frontier, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's why teams are hiring mental skills coaches, are trying to create knowledge and education for the players that can improve that mental performance aspect that was kind of the last part that hadn't been explored. So we're finally at the point where Yogi said years ago that 90% of the game is half mental, and we're trying to figure that out now.
And it is an ongoing journey. We're talking with Bob Duxbury, mental skills coach for a number of great, great baseball organizations. You were with the Red Sox for a good long time. You actually consulted with the Major League Baseball Players Association as director of player development. Now, of course, with the San Francisco Giants. Bob, it is an interesting tale. You know, in my conversations with some of the people I work with at the Olympic level and the professional level as well, we've kind of come to the consensus that we're sort of at a ceiling when it comes to athlete development. Now, just to go back in time, I was actually, you mentioned some of the teams didn't have strength coaches. I was the very first minor league strength coach for the Toronto Blue Jays. So it was a really good experience for me as a young professional. I got to step into an organization and build a program from scratch, which I still thank the Blue Jays for that opportunity, for sure. But I've had a chance to see the game change and develop right before my eyes, but sport in general. And when we talk amongst the professionals in my area of the game, we all agree we're kind of at a ceiling when it comes to the physical side. We have a really great understanding of faster, higher, stronger, developing the physical side of athleticism. It's pretty straightforward and fundamental. You just need the time and the resources to get that done. When it comes to skill development, talent development, well, yeah, we have a pretty good idea of that, about, well, the fundamentals of the game, hitting, throwing, catching, skating, you know, we have that down pretty good. But the mental side, for me, if there's two great areas of potential for pushing human performance forward, I agree with you so much. The mind is one of them, the mental side of the game, and technology, I think, still has a long way and a lot to contribute moving forward. You have a great book out. It's called 90% Mental, and it reveals sort of the hidden game of baseball. I really like it. I read most of it now, Bob, and it's really, really insightful. From your perspective now, what do you think could be next in terms of the mental game? First off, if an athlete hasn't gone through a mental program before, what an area of potential for any athlete? And then I guess after that, once you get an idea of how those fundamentals operate, how do we push that to the next level, do you think?
Yeah, well, those are all good points. Thanks for plugging the book. I appreciate that. It's been well received in a lot of different ways of performance, but also just kind of life story, you know, of success, if you will. But I think, I think that you have to, athletes, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I wanted people to realize, you know, that even the Major League Baseball players still struggle with lack of confidence, and, you know, that things are not always easy, even when you're one of the best players in the world. And to be able to have players like Lester and Rizzo and Andrew Miller and Rich Hill share their stories of this, all of whom have been very successful in the big leagues and are world champions, that this is normal. It's not bad. It doesn't mean that you're not a good player. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that this aspect of performance, just like physical and fundamental, needs to be addressed. And people that adhere to that understand that, you know, that I don't think that they know what it is. And it all ties in together. Confidence, imagery, breathing, relaxation, concentration, self-talk. You know, all these things tie in together that we can use in all aspects of our life, just not performance. You know, when the plane is delayed for 2 hours on the runway, what are you going to do about it? You know, when, you know, something happens at work, or you get cut off in the highway by a reckless driver, or someone cuts you in front of you in a line that, you know, not supposed to. And, you know, things happen every day that we have to decide how we're going to choose to react. And I think that, you know, players, especially young players, can learn to control their behaviors better, understanding that, you know, they're in control of how they respond and why they respond the way they do. And I think it's really the group that, you know, the young player, the minor league player, the guys that are coming up, that, you know, even with their physical gifts being, you know, the number one draft pick to the 50th draft pick, you know, their talent may be different, but the capacity for them to learn the mental aspects of performance is the same, and it can help everyone's performance in, to certain degrees. And I think it's that's what's exciting about it. It's such an open field of a difference maker. You know, it really makes a difference when you work on having a plan.
Hey, Bob, I'm sure there's fundamentals, right? And I've been around experts like you all my life, which has been such an eye-opener for me. When I did my degree at university, I sort of focused on the physiology side of it, the anatomy side of it, the kinesiology side. But I took every option possible in the psychology side, to the point where to do more psychology classes at university, I actually had to enter. They were forcing me to enter the Faculty of Psychology because there's no more courses for me to take unless I was in the... But it's always been a fascinating side of sport and just like maybe the human state. When we look at maybe the players, it's the thing that really enamors me, kind of like the strength side, is it's so different for everybody. There are hard fundamentals, and I really enjoy all of your work and the message you send out. The website is bobdukesbury.com. Such great resources on there. But one of the sort of the themes that I keep seeing is just this magic word, consistency. We see it on our side of the game when it comes to the physical fundamental side of it, but also on the mental side as well. You talk about it a lot. Consistent routines, consistent performance. How important is that?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think when, in all of us, when we have a routine, you know, what do you say? Well, you know, when you go on vacation, it's great, but you fall out of a routine, and then you got to get back into the routine, and when you're back into the routine, you feel better. And so the routine is, you know, starts from the time you get up. What do you do? How do you start your day? You know, do you fit in exercise? If you do, when is it? Is it the beginning or at the end? Do you work? You know, what time do you go to bed? What time do you eat? I mean, these are all things that done consistently help us feel better. And when athletes do that, it helps them stay grounded in times when their performance may not be so good, to not kind of chase their tail on, oh, I had a good game, I'm going to do this. Oh, I had a bad game, I got to change something. A routine is something that has to be consistent. And it takes time to develop those, trial and error, years of, you know, talking with other people, monitoring and making change, modifying when needed. But you really look at the best players in the big leagues have a consistent routine with their batting practice, with their throwing program, with their running program, with their rest, and that makes a difference. And I think that, you know, consistent routines do lead to consistent performance, because confidence over time ebbs and flows, but having a consistent routine will help those times where it's not so good not last so long.
Bob, that's so true. You know, baseball is a humbling game. Heck, life's a humbling game. And having a consistent approach is so important. It's one of our cornerstone words, consistency. No question about it. Listen, everybody, we have to cut out for a quick break. Please stick around. When we come back, we'll finish our conversation with former Major League pitcher and now mental training coach Bob Tewksbury, talking the mental game of performance right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around. I've done a couple presentations recently, one of the latest to an urban sport council. It was a 90-minute presentation that turned into an incredible 3-hour performance extravaganza. So much fun. And then I was asked to speak to the staff and employees of a construction company. What does a sport performance guy have to say to a construction company, you ask? Well, plenty. See, the strategies we use for improving performance in sport are virtually the same as the ones we use anywhere you're trying to perform or work towards a goal or outcome. If you want you or your organization to be successful, you need to make sure you have the best performance environment possible. And there are performance factors you can influence to improve productivity, on-the-job performance, and maybe most important of all, reduce the risk of injury. This is what I love to talk about. Everything you need to know so you, your team, franchise, business, or organization can operate at the highest level possible. I've been lucky to speak in many parts of the world, to sporting organizations, bankers, oil companies, sales teams, municipalities, schools, and now a construction company, all in the name of helping people to understand what it takes to perform at their very best. Right now, we're currently booking Crush Performance summer and fall presentations. If you'd like us to come out and present to your group, please write to us at info@crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Listen, if you do have those questions, comments, or smart remarks, get to us. Crushperformance.com is the website. If you have an idea for a topic, or if you have a question you'd like us to investigate, let us know. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea. So we love that, and we've done that in the past. Some of our recent shows have come right out of our mailbox. So you can get to us on the website, on Twitter, it's at Chef Crush, on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube, just search Crush Performance. Today, we're talking the mental game. And look, we always go to the pros to find out what's going on there.
to get an idea of what we should be thinking about. And with the baseball season well underway and really the only major sport going on right now, I thought baseball would be a great place to focus on. Plus, our guest today is outstanding. But here's one thing that I think we should keep in mind. It doesn't matter whether you play football or you're a synchronized swimmer or if you're a ballerina or if you play basketball, if you're a pro or an amateur, there's always something to learn from the pros at every single level in every single sport. And you see it now more than ever. You see teams going to, in organizations, going to different sports to get ideas about development and how they're working with their players and trying to tap into potential. And so today's conversation is really important for anybody out there. Bob, thanks for hanging on over the break. You know, on the developmental side of sport, when you're working inside of an organization, do you like the idea of sort of having a blanket organizational approach? Or do you like to attack the individuals per se? Because though the organizational approaches, I guess, can provide everybody with the fundamentals they need to sort of move forward, it's really, really different for everybody, isn't it?
It really is. You know, when I was with the Red Sox and started their program, it was very much, you know, a structured program with presentations in the spring and at Instructional League, and then, you know, meetings with the teams when I went to visit the teams, and some one-off meetings and talking with players. And that was consistent with regard to concepts and techniques of mental skills. And now it's, you know, the last few years I've been more just with the major league side of things, and that educational part doesn't happen as much because the players are at a higher level and they really don't want to have me come in and talk to them for 20 minutes about confidence. It's like if they know that they're not feeling good in performance, they'll find me. And so we have a lot of, you know, one-off conversations just casually. As you know, sometimes the best work, you're in the weight room, sometimes the best conversations take 5 minutes, you know, when they happen in a spontaneous nature. So so it's a very individualized thing. It's, you know, mental skills is not something everyone really wants to talk about. It's kind of like, you know, talk therapy or counseling is not for everybody, but it's there for those who have interest and see the value in it. You know, we have chiropractors that come around now, massage therapists, and not every player uses that resource either. Mm-hmm. But it's available to them, and all I can do is be available to them and hopefully develop a relationship so that at some point, if there's a discussion that has to happen regarding performance, that we can connect and map out a plan.
Yeah, so, so important. Hey, Bob, you mentioned building the Red Sox program. Hey, if you're okay with this, I'd love to go back to this. What a great turnaround that was for the Boston Red Sox. I've always loved the franchise. Fenway, by the way, is maybe my favorite ballpark in baseball. For some reason, it's just tugs at my heartstrings when it comes to the baseball world. But it was really, you know, being with the Blue Jays, battling the Yankees and the Red Sox for all those years, I had great respect for every organization, truly. But to see that organization really, really turn it around, and 2004 was a big year. You were right there. What was the big changes there, Bob, in your mind, in your eye?
Well, I was at the minor league. That's when the mental skills program started in 04, and you know, we had young players come through the system that helped the 07 team and some leftovers to the 13 team. But, you know, I think that, you know, in 03 they lost in the, you know, league championship series to the Yankees when Brett Boone hit that home run, or Aaron Boone hit the home run off Wakefield. So they were closed for years. And I think it was a, you know, a blend of good scouting and development, and then veteran players that perform well, that you know, that are able to play in the clutch or under pressure. And I think the combination of those two certainly carried the Sox for a 10-year span. But you had players that were young, like Pedroia and Ellsbury and Lester and Papelbon, and then, you know, you trade for a veteran like Veritek, and you know, you start to put together these pieces of an organization that has good players that are young and under control, much like Theo has done in Chicago.
Yes.
You know, he's done scouting and development, and You know, they, you have these good players. You teach them well. You have coaching and development as a priority in the minor leagues, and resources available and consistency. You know, there's a lot of the Red Sox staff are still there. You know, they keep their coaches and they keep the message the same. And you know, they're having another great season. And and certainly, you know, to be honest, the teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees sometimes can outspend their mistakes. You know, they, whereas a smaller market signs a free agent for $70 million and that doesn't work out, that's strapping for a team. It affects signing bonuses. It affects budgets and development. And the Red Sox and Yankees and Dodgers, you know, are three of the teams that can afford those kind of lapses, if you will, but still not have it affect the organization.
Yeah, so true, and it's and we've seen that happen before. But I really do like the concept of the consistency at the developmental level. If we look across the board in sports and the successful franchises, there's one thing I think that you'll see when you start, I guess, maybe dissecting the infrastructure and what goes on inside, and that is that personnel, that consistency in personnel. The head coach has been there for quite a long time. The support staff and the assistant coaches have been there. The general manager, such an important part of sports today. But we also know that that it's a fickle game, professional sports, and another reason to be mentally strong.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's there's so many things that happen that are out of a player's control. You know, staff changes in staff happen, changes in, you know, and those staff changes could affect you or other people. And you know, and that's why you really have to focus on you as a player, regardless of the situation that you're in and those around you, and take responsibility for yourself to be the best you can be, utilizing the resources available. But it's still, you know, it's still about you. It's your career, and the players taking responsibility and accountability for their own development is always encouraged and preferred than waiting for the team to help you do it.
Yeah, we're joined now by Bob Tewksbury, former major league pitcher and mental training, a mental skills coach for a number of organizations in professional baseball. Bob, let's maybe one last area I really want to get to. We talk about player development. The major league draft just happened. Here's a bunch of young, great potential players who really have no idea where they're headed. What an exciting time. But also I feel for a lot of these young men, because they're stepping into a real crazy world. I really, really appreciate now some of the organizations and the efforts they're taking to help transition their young players into the world of professional sports. Such an incredibly important time in the development of young talent.
Yeah, I mean, every year, and that's what, you know, you think about this, and, you know, when a player starts, I call it the process of professionalization. You know, they sign a contract, and what's ahead of them, they don't know yet, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be, you know, they're going to struggle, and they might get injured, and they're going to see somebody get moved before they move to the next level. They're going to see one of their friends get sent back down to a level. They're going to go through all these experiences that, you know, help form you as a baseball player. That starts, and right now they're all bright-eyed and whiskey and frisky that they've got, you know, I'm going to be a big league player, and their families are all happy, and everyone's celebrating and buying all the team uniform stuff, and their path has just begun. You know, I think as you get a little older, every year there's a thousand new players come into the pool of those hoping to be one of the 750 major league players. And it's really, really competitive. And what starts out as a big funnel gets very narrow very quickly at about the AA level. And then it narrows again. And, you know, I think when I was working for the Players Association, they had a statistic that there's only been 19,000 players play at least or one day or more in the major leagues in the history of baseball. So that's 19,000. Just think about how many doctors or lawyers are in the city that anyone's in listening to this. And of those 19,000, less than 2% of the players that played play 10 years or more. So, and the further step of that is 50% of the players who play 1 year of major league, who get 1 year of major league service, 182 days of service, 50% of those players never get a second full year. So even if you make it to the big leagues, 50% of the people that are there never get a second full year. So when you start out, when they start out their career, they're definitely going to be one of those 750, and they're going to make it. And that's a great attitude to have. The reality is, over the course of the process of professionalization, things change and players don't make it. Players get released, but then every year there's a new crop of aspiring players jumping in the pool. It's not an easy life, but it's great to, you know, fulfill a dream to play professional baseball, but that's just the start of the process.
Yeah, it certainly is, Bob. Certainly is, for sure. And we'll be watching all these great young talents with interest as they work their way into the game and try to make their mark, for sure. Bob, listen, thank you so much for your time today, but I do want to get to this. On your website again, bobtewksbury.com, there's some great, great resources. We're encouraging everybody to go there, if for no other reason, just to start thinking about some of this great stuff. There's a couple things on there that I just wanted to mention. And one of them was your concept of thoughts become things. You know, ideas like for players, when you start thinking, don't walk this guy or don't swing at a slider. These types of things can be real counterproductive. You have some interesting things coming up on your website in 2018, I noticed. You're having some audio programs that are going to be there. What's next for Bob Tewksbury coming up here for 2018?
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. I'm going to record some performance audios that have been a couple of readers of the book had asked about. And I think that it's something that I know I would have liked to have listened to. It'll be like the ABCs of mental skills for pitchers and hitters. That's coming on. And then there'll be a little bit more advanced audio program about pitching, you know, philosophies, you know, my belief and foundational pitching and foundations to success. So those are going to be out probably the beginning of July, and looking forward to having those on. And then just, I've got to, you know, hopefully keep the Giants afloat so we can make a run at the postseason later in the year. We have the book promotions that are ongoing, and then, you know, maintaining the website and all that stuff. So keeping busy, Jeff, no doubt.
No question. Idle hands. You know what they say, Bob, idle hands.
Right? Yeah.
The website again, bobtewksbury.com. The book, 90% Mental, a fantastic read that transcends not just baseball, but sport, I believe, and is very useful in the real world. And the Giants, of course. What a commitment, Bob, they have made this year. Good luck. We'll be watching you guys with great interest as we head into the midseason.
Awesome, Jeff. Thanks a bunch, man. Continued success to you. Love the podcast, and keep doing the great work you're doing.
Oh, thanks so much, Bob. Very much appreciated. And there you have it, everybody. Great conversation with Bob Tewksbury. His website, again, is bobtewksbury.com. Go on there. Great, great resources online and some new stuff coming up. So be sure to go back and check that out from time to time. We are out of time, unfortunately. We could keep going on this topic endlessly. It is so vast, but what we're learning now about training the mind and harnessing the power of the mind is really, really turning sport performance around for a lot of people, and it can for you as well. Again, the podcast, go to our website, crushperformance.com. We're on virtually every platform possible: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, you name it, we're on it. So subscribe and share this one with your friends. It's a really great conversation. Coming up in the next few weeks on Crush Performance, we're going to get into the idea of hockey development. Look, it is summer, and this is the time the pro, collegiate, and serious hockey players need to spend time preparing themselves for the game. And the NHL draft just went down. What happened there? And what do you do once a player is drafted? How do you get a player to the draft? And how do you be successful at the draft? Well, there's tricks of the trade. We're going to talk with Manny Schmidt from Link Management International, and we're going to look at the hockey draft. We have an episode coming up in our War on Sugar series. It's called Tipping the Scales. We're going to talk to a couple of our good friends who have literally tipped the scales and are working to continue that momentum moving forward. What can you do to start managing your weight, lose that weight, and keep it off? Well, these guys have done it. They've lived it. We're going to talk with them live in studio coming up in the next few weeks. And back by popular demand, with the MLB All-Star Game coming around, I wanted to get back to our conversation on the use of ice in injury management and recovery. We're still getting a ton of questions from our episode that was titled Iced, the Illusionary Treatment, where we talked about some of the recent science that's come out saying that ice is counterproductive for injury management and recovery, slowing recovery down. Well, I wanted to dig a bit deeper because there's been some new research coming out and a ton of questions as well. So we're going to revisit that topic to hopefully answer some of those questions and dig a little deeper even, because there's some new things going out and a couple other interesting guests will be talking about the ice-free training room and how a bunch of organizations have actually banned ice from their athletic training rooms. Interesting stuff. And of course, as I mentioned, the MLB All-Star Break is coming up. We will be having the Crush Mid-Season Classic Extravaganza as we look at the game of baseball. Is anybody else out there worried about the game like I am? Well, I'm going to lay out my concerns plain as day, and we're going to look at the first half performance of the teams in Major League Baseball. Some really, really interesting storylines there. Have to thank Bob Tewksbury again for joining us today. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Now listen, get out there and go get better. We'll talk to you next week on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
So really, if we're coming up to a big moment, it's the day before and the day of. The day before is maybe real light. The day of is just you're
the
ready.
The day before, work on your strengths. Work on the key points of the presentation. Do a dress rehearsal. I've never given a speech I haven't already given in my mind. And especially, I know how I'm going to open. Now, I have maybe six openings for a speech. I've walked out on stage not knowing how I was going to open.
You had to see how the crowd reacted?
I did. And now that's stressful, but I want that stress. And I know that if I relax and I lock into the audience, that will take me into a zone state. It's never failed me. It's a little nerve-wracking, I guess, for most people. If I said, 90 seconds before your speech, turn your brain off, don't think about it. That's not easy to do. But clearing the mind, clearing the launch, dealing from your strength, that's all I would work on the day before. And then the day of, try to be as normal as possible.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.